how do we share all of these things that we do, not just the things that they see, but pull back the curtain a little bit and let them view in the back and see all of the work that's being put in.
The first thing we have to recognize is in those sensitive situations, speed matters just as much as substance.
I think it all goes back to building empathy, showcasing that we care about our clients, because when we've done that effectively, they forgive us when there's a mistake. Welcome to the Bright House Financial Insights Panel Podcast. In these monthly conversations, leading experts share actionable tips and strategies to help financial professionals like you build strong businesses and lasting relationships with clients. Hello, I'm your host, Stephen Boswell, president of the Oxley Institute, a leading provider of marketing solutions for financial professionals. This is the final of four episodes in our series of discussing key strategies for retaining and expanding relationships with your existing clients. In previous episodes, experts from our Insights panel have discussed segmentation and communication strategies, building unique client experiences, and using the digital tools you've relied on during the pandemic to boost your efficiency as in-person meetings return. Today, we're going to talk about strategies for keeping your clients feeling confident about and focused on their long-term goals. Increasing customer retention by just 5% has been shown to potentially increase profits by nearly 25%. On the opposite end of the spectrum, one survey showed the average cost for a financial professional to acquire a new client was more than $3,000. So the more we can keep our existing customers engaged and continuously find ways to grow those relationships, whether that's through additional services or new products, the better chance we have of building them into even larger clients. And a key part of that is our ability to retain them as a client, giving us the opportunity to enhance our partnership year after year through the ups and downs of the market and through all of their life events. So what we're going to talk about today are some ways to overcome the challenges and repair trust to help us build strong, lifelong relationships with our clients. Joining me today are communications expert Erica DeWan, author of Digital Body Language, How to Build Trust and Connection No Matter the Distance, and prospecting and marketing expert Mary Beth Kuzmeski, the founder of Red Zone Marketing. Erica, let's start with some preventative measures. What are some good habits that financial professionals could incorporate?
The first habit is to be consistent in your communications with clients. When you haven't engaged with a client for a while, don't assume everything is okay. Actually check in and make sure you're segmenting your clients, those that want to hear from you monthly, those that might want to hear from you quarterly, or those that really need those biweekly check-ins. Remember to simply ask their communication preferences and the consistency they prefer to ensure that you are engaging effectively with your clients. Secondly, assess the speed of response that your clients expect. Some clients may expect a response within 3 hours. Others may be good with 24 hours. Others, a week is totally fine. Don't assume that every client is the same. Make sure you're a bit thoughtful of this, and also manage expectations of your clients, especially in volatile times. And third, last but not least, in your communications, both digitally and face-to-face, make sure to not be hasty, but be thoughtful. So proofread your messages. Take the time and give space for people to digest knowledge. And make sure you are reading your messages carefully and showing that you are listening.
Erica, I love your thoughts on not taking it for granted just because you're not hearing from a client often that everything is okay. Because there are times where that's simply not the case. The only way for us to truly know whether we're on track with a client is to ask them periodically for feedback. But only by asking clients for their input do we get valuable information to help our process get better. Mary Beth, what's the best practice for getting feedback from clients?
Well, think about the importance of a client interaction with their financial professional. I mean, it is at such a high level. It is so critically important. So we recommend that you ask them right after the meeting, and you can do it in a couple different ways. You can have someone else in the team phone them and say, how was that meeting with financial professional? Or you can send out an email, or you could ask it after the meeting, something that allows them to give that feedback. I think, are you satisfied with how the meeting went? Was the meeting too long, too short? And did we cover all of the things that you wanted to cover in this meeting? Was it valuable? And if someone says that this meeting wasn't valuable, we got to change everything, because we're not doing meetings because they're good for us. We're doing them because they're good for them.
The other thing that I think is important is something called Feed Forward that was created by life coach Marshall Goldsmith, which basically means feedback is looking backwards, but let's ask for feed forward, which is a simple question. What are two things I could do moving forward to best serve you? What's one thing you'd like to see moving forward? And if we switch the discussion, it can be more focused on proactive actions to take in the future.
I think that makes a lot of sense, Erica.
We find most financial professionals are naturally working on a few things within their practice. The frequency of their review meetings, virtual versus in person, how we're providing your technology walkthrough as a new client. We're always working on something, so we think it helps to get feedback around some of those concepts so that we can naturally get a little bit better with them. So for example, instead of saying, you know, anything we could be doing better, we're asking more. As we look forward here, we're considering going to 2 meetings per year, or, you know, this is some things where I'd love your advice. And we think even using words like advice or insights may be more effective than saying feedback, which does feel a little bit negative. Let's shift gears for a moment, Mary Beth. Financial professionals are really put to the test when there is market volatility.
Many clients may have an emotional reaction to ups and downs of the market and be tempted to change strategy. That's when you can start to see those signs of dissatisfaction. But as financial professionals, it's our goal to keep them focused on their long-term strategy. Mary Beth, as you think about advice you give to financial professionals, what do you recommend in terms of keeping clients thinking long-term as opposed to short-term?
I think that if we think about the beginning of the relationship, if it is focused on their goals, and then making sure that you're training them to say, hey, if the market goes down a little bit or if the market goes up, we still have this portfolio of goals that are designed to get you where you want to go, even if there's some fluctuation in the market. And the more repetitive that you can be about that topic, the better off they will be when that market has some kind of a blip or even a correction where they remember, oh, I think I'm fine. But it's also a great time to reach out and say, hey, we just looked at your portfolio. And yes, even though there's this blip in the market right now, we know that you're fine. And so it's really focusing on the outcomes of the goals, not necessarily what's happening just today.
We've seen this put to the test during moments of market volatility. And in those moments, the financial professionals who continually told their clients, hey, we're focused on the long term, there will be a correction at some point, they were not getting hammered with a lot of client calls. The clients understood what to expect and how that impacted their long-term goals. And that's because those financial professionals had gotten their message across, whether it was through phone calls, video meetings, videos, podcasts, articles. They had beat that drum consistently. And it paid off because their clients knew where they were. Mary Beth, I know so much of what a financial professional does is behind the scenes. There are so many interactions and discussions that we're having that a client doesn't really know about. How do you make sure that they're fully aware of all of what we're doing for them?
Well, it's interesting because I was talking to a financial professional and he said, my clients know everything that we're doing. I said, well, let's ask them. And so we did ask them, and they didn't know the half of it. They literally did not know the time they put in to complete a financial plan, to review a financial plan, to do the research that's necessary. And so what we decided to do is put together what we call today a capabilities deck. So it's how do we share all of these things that we do, not just the things that they see, but pull back the curtain a little bit and let them view in the back and see all of the work that's being put in. You know, clients think that maybe you spend a couple of minutes just plugging in the data for some kind of an analysis that you're doing. And the reality is that that's not how it goes. An analysis requires the intellectual capital of the people that are serving and that have these certifications and all of that. And it's to share, hey, the reason we've got all these people on our team is because of the work that we're doing on your behalf in the background, not just when we see you face to face or on video. And so being able to talk about the time and the effort and the expertise that the team has to be able to serve that client at a very high level is something that's really, really critical.
So true. And we've seen some scenarios where the clients don't necessarily want to come in for review meetings at all. They have a lot going on and they're very busy. We still think it's important to meet on their behalf. We still think there ought to be a certain cadence of meetings that take place and then send you the digest of that meeting in print or leave it to you in a voicemail to say, we met on your behalf. Here's all the things that we covered. We just want to keep you up to speed on what we're doing for you. Erica, let's say we've gotten to that point, unfortunately, with a client where they're unhappy with us. How do you handle that?
The first thing we have to recognize is in those sensitive situations, speed matters just as much as substance. When someone is unhappy, make sure to respond thoughtfully and swiftly with your client. What went wrong? What could be improved moving forward? Letting your client know that you're quickly on it will simply allow you to build trust in that difficult situation. Secondly, be conscious of your tone. Especially in emails, we can often feel tone deaf, not tone deft. So know when to opt for that phone call or that video call, or take them out to dinner to have that deep dive discussion. And last but not least, related to that, choose the right medium. Do not respond to an email chain when it really should be a phone or video call. Do not just opt for that video call again when it really should be an in-person discussion. And so knowing when not only to use the right channel, but to switch the channel will allow us to swiftly turn a dissatisfied client into a more happy one.
And you make a good point about the response time. You are going to have to recall this person back at some point, even if it's not pleasant. So why not get it over with and at the same time show the client that you're taking this very seriously? Mary Beth, I'll turn to you on that one. If you had a client and you're a financial professional and they're unhappy with you, how do you handle it?
Well, first we have to figure out why they're unhappy. And a lot of times we may know. So the number one reason why clients are unhappy with their financial professional is communication. And that's something that if we think about, well, how could we communicate better with them? Or maybe we haven't been communicating. What can we do? The biggest thing that we've seen in terms of this service recovery when something has gone wrong is to apologize, is to take responsibility. Because if you are defensive about what happened, that's not going to solve anything. It's all about being positive, but taking that responsibility for the actions of you and your team, by the way. It's a great service recovery sort of method.
Erica, how do you leverage your knowledge of a client's personality type when they're unhappy with you?
It is important to think about their personality types across thinkers, enablers, and executors. Now, thinkers really work best in sensitive, difficult times when they talk out issues, when they're able to express themselves and really discuss ideas one-on-one with you. Enablers, maybe those that really need to see you face-to-face. They're more extroverted. They want to have that dinner to discuss what happened. And executors just want to know, we fixed it, we got it done, and we're moving forward. I don't have time for anything else. So actually simply analyzing and being thoughtful of your client, what segment they're in across personality types, and engaging with them in that difficult time in a way they like to engage best will allow you to repair a difficult situation.
So if I'm an executor and you've made a mistake, I'm already annoyed at the mistake. The last thing I want you to do is to drag me through the weeds of what happened. And I just want to move on from this. I want to know it's not going to happen again.
I think it all goes back to building empathy, showcasing that we care about our clients. Because when we've done that effectively, they forgive us when there's a mistake. We've still got that bond with them. They're sticking with us. They're still referring us to their friends because that's the kind of relationship we've built.
Yeah, I like to call that putting some money in the trust bank. And when you've got a lot of buildup in that trust bank, if something goes wrong, you know what? Everyone makes mistakes. It's a matter of doing things proactively, as we've talked about.
And when you do make a mistake, know how to delight your clients in the future. Maybe take that extra step, take them out to dinner, be thoughtful of a gift during a significant life event. These things can actually go a long way in making others feel truly cared for.
Exactly. Such a true statement.
Thanks for joining us today, everyone. And a special thanks once again to Erica and Mary Beth for participating. You two are a wealth of knowledge, and I've enjoyed our time together.
You can find more episodes of the Bright House Financial Insights Panel podcast, including more from this series on retaining and growing your existing clients on brighthousefinancialpro.com/insightspanel, or subscribe for free through any podcast app to receive new episodes direct to your mobile device. Stay ahead of the curve with the Insights Panel from Bright House Financial. This information is brought to you courtesy of Bright House Financial Incorporated, which provides, through its affiliates, annuities and life insurance products issued by Bright House Life Insurance Company, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28277, and, in New York only, by Bright House Life Insurance Company of New York, New York, New York, 10017. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers, and the information presented is for educational purposes only. Speakers are compensated for their participation as subject matter experts. For financial professional use only, not for public distribution. Brighthouse Financial Incorporated is not affiliated with, nor endorses, any businesses or organizations that appear in this material. The statistic on customer retention and profits is originally from research done by Bain & Company and also reported on by the Harvard Business Review. The statistic on average cost of acquiring a new client is from a Kitsis research report from 2020.